Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John in chapter 8. The Gospel according to John, chapter 8, and verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And our subject this morning is living in light. What is it to live in light? Well, these obviously, as the verse makes very clear, are the blessed words of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And some of you, perhaps many of you, will be aware that this is one of the I am sayings. The I am sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ, all in the Gospel of John. And there are seven I am sayings. This is the second of them, I am the light of the world. The first is in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. The third after this, I am the door, the Lord Jesus Christ says, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The fourth of the I am sayings, just by way of introduction, I'm going through these. I am the good shepherd, John chapter 10, verse 14. The fifth, John 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life, the way through death, the Lord Jesus Christ says. The sixth, John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So well known, so famous, and such blessed words. And the seventh, I am the true vine, John 15, verse 1. Seven I am sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. These sayings proclaimed by Christ so that we can better understand who he is and what he has come to do. These are all descriptions, metaphors that give us greater insight into who he is. Of course, who he was the Almighty Son of God, the incarnate God. That's who he was, and we have to stress this very often and very firmly, because there are so many people and even certain sects and people who would call themselves Christians who don't believe in these things. But Christ is the incarnate God, fully man, fully God. In fact, there is perhaps an eighth I am saying in the Gospel of John, John 8, and verse 58, the Lord Jesus Christ said, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. What does that mean? Abraham, of course, he's way back in the Old Testament, way before the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, 2,000 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem. How can the Lord Jesus say, before Abraham was, I am? Well, it's because he is God. Of course it is. He is God. He existed at the time of Abraham because he's always existed. He's never had a beginning. He will never have an end. He existed before his birth, before his conception. He's eternally existed with the Father in heaven. He was there at the creation of the world. We read that in John chapter 1. It seems that he was the member of the Godhead who created all things. Christ himself was the creator. So when he says, I am, he is saying, I am God. I am, of course, and I don't want to spend too long with this, but I am, many of you will know this, was the name that God gave of himself to Moses at the burning bush. He asked God, When I go to the children of Israel who are in bondage, who shall I say has sent me? And God said, tell them the I Am has sent me, has sent you to save them and to lead them out of bondage. The great I Am have sent me unto you. So Christ is the same God, the same God who spoke to Moses at the burning bush. This is the very same one. But let us return to chapter 8 and this context. I am the light of the world. Well, now the Lord Jesus Christ, he was in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. It was a Jewish festival, much like, well, you could say it's the equivalent of our harvest festival, but it's still observed by Jewish people even now. It was a feast to remember God's provision and protection for the children of Israel when they were being led of Moses in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. That was the Feast of the Tabernacles. But one part of the festival involved light. That was quite a big part of the festival. There were huge golden candlesticks set up in a part of the temple of Jerusalem that would give light to the temple. In the part of the temple known as the Court of Women, in the treasury, and many would come and worship and rejoice at this great light, this great show of light in the temple. That was a great part of the festival. But now, when the Lord Jesus Christ says these words, I am the light of the world, well, the festival is coming to an end. The lights on the candlesticks are each one being extinguished, but it is now, when those lights go out, that the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were, points to himself and says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Those candles for those festivals, well, they were just for the temple. They were just for the Jewish nation in a Jewish festival. The Lord Jesus Christ is different. He is the light of the world, the whole world, not just for one nation, not just for one particular time. He has come to be a light to the whole world. And this is a very important point. I know some scholars, they go onto the internet and social media and they're very vehement that Jesus of Nazareth was just for the Jews. Have you heard that? Jesus, well, he was just a Jew preaching Judaism to other Jews. I've heard that many times, but this is nonsense, because Christ himself said, I am the light of the world. This was prophesied of Christ in the Old Testament, that he would be a light to other nations. And even as an infant, when Joseph and Mary brought him to this very temple, there was a man in the temple called Simeon. And when he saw the infant child, the baby Jesus, he said, this is a light to lighten the Gentiles. This is a light for the whole world. And this is how we have to understand Christ and the gospel of his salvation. Why, it's like the sun. The sun in the sky, that light of the world, that shines on all nations. It doesn't just shine on one nation, on one particular people. It shines on everybody. And this is the way we have to see the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's come for everyone. All can seek him, no matter what their background, or their ethnicity, or their country of origin. Because Christ is the light of the world. And let us not have anybody tell us otherwise. I am the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ says. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Well, this, as well as an I am saying, this is a great promise. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, they will not walk in darkness. What a tremendous promise that is. Of course, the opposite is true. If somebody does not follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then they will certainly walk in darkness. They will walk in darkness. If it's true and certain that if we follow Christ, we will walk in light, well, then it's equally sure and certain that if we do not follow Christ, we will walk in darkness, no matter what our state or situation. And of course, there are so many people who do not follow Christ in this life, in this world. So many people who reject Christ, and in so doing, they walk in darkness. Instead of following Christ, they go their own way. They try to find peace and happiness and contentment, and they can never find it. They try so many things. So many people in this world trying all sorts of things to find peace and fulfillment. They can never find it. Why can they never find it? Well, because they're in darkness. They're in darkness. You know, it's very hard to find something when you're looking in the dark. Have you ever lost something? Something's fallen out of your pocket and it's nighttime, there's no light. It's very hard to find it. And this is the state of so many people in this world today. They're trying to find peace and contentment, but they're looking in the dark. They can't find it. It's impossible to find it. You know, people who don't follow Christ, they don't actually know what the real problem is in their lives. They don't know what the real problem is. I've spoken to so many people, and before I was saved, this was the case. So many people think that the problem lies in what they don't have. In what they don't have. I was like this to a certain extent. So many people think to themselves, well, if I had a good job, then I'd be happy. If I had a nicer home, a bigger home, then I'd be happy. If I had, a wife or a husband, if only I was married, then I'd be happy. They always look to the things that they don't have. Oh, if I just had that, then I would be happy. But that's somebody who's walking in darkness. They can't really see the real problem. Somebody who comes to the Word of God, somebody who follows Christ, they soon see what the real problem is. The problem is ourselves. It's ourselves as individuals. I had to come to this realization. I was somebody who thought if I had this or if I had that, then I'd be happy. But when I came to the Word of God, I started reading it, and soon it dawned upon me. You know what my problem was? It was my own sin. It was me. It was my own lying. It was my own selfishness. It was my own greediness and cruelty and neglect of people. It was my own pride. That's what the Word of God taught me to see. Suddenly I was enlightened and I realized that was true. It's not the world around me that's the great problem. It's not what I don't have. It's me. It's my sin. And that's always the sign of somebody who is walking in the light of Christ, who is being enlightened by the Word of God. They realize that the real problem is themselves. I am the problem. They're clear also on the cause of sin. The cause of sin. So many people and psychologists and counselors, what do they attribute as the cause of sin? Why do people do bad things, in other words? You watch the TV, well, people will say to you, oh, the reason why bad things happen in this world, well, it's because of social causes. It's because people have had bad upbringings. It's because of a lack of education, a lack of opportunities. That's the reason why people do bad things. But again, that's the conclusion of somebody who's walking in the dark. They can't really see. They can only guess. But when you come to Christ, then you can see clearly. Why is there sin in the world? Why do people go astray so easily, so quickly? Ah, it's because of our separation from God. It's not a social problem. It's not a medical problem. It's a spiritual problem. It's because we as a race have separated ourselves from God. Our broken relationship with God. We don't want God. We rebel against God. We rebel against His laws. We hate God. We shake the fist at the heavens, as it were. That's our nature. And that's what the real problem is. That's what the real problem is. And the solution, well, it's not better education or better housing or anything of that sort. The solution is the gospel. The solution is seeking Christ and drawing near to Him. That's what we see when we have clear gospel light, when we walk in the light of Christ. Somebody who is in the dark, well, they're unaware of spiritual things and eternal things. So many people in this world, they think that this life is the only life. This life is the only life. Therefore, they have to get as much out of this life as possible. This is the only life that we are going to live. They are so in the dark, so ignorant about the true state of man, about eternity and all the things that come with eternity. I know, and I hope that we all know also, that there are two parts to each and every man. Two parts. There's the outer man, the body, the flesh, that which we can see. But there's also the inner man, the soul. And that is so easily forgotten nowadays in this world. The soul. Do you know that the soul is eternal? The soul will exist forever. The soul will never cease to exist. And so we as individuals, as human beings, we have to think about our souls. Where will our souls be for all eternity? Where will we spend eternity? You know, there's been so much in the news recently about euthanasia or assisted suicide. A horrible, horrible subject to consider. But apparently somebody has created or invented some sort of a suicide machine. Have you heard of this? A suicide machine where it's so easy to end your own life. I don't know entirely how it works, but apparently with this machine, even just at the blink of an eye, you can end your life just like that. Just blink your eye and that's it. It's all over. Dear friends, this is a terrible, terrible sign of a society that walks in darkness. Well, suicide, needless to say, is a horrible and tragic and terrible sin. But these people who want to end their life in such a way, do they actually know where they're going? They think that they're just ending all their suffering. That's not the case. That's not the case for so many of them. They're in the dark about these things. If you do not know Christ, if you've never known the forgiveness of sin, death is not the end of your suffering. I dare say it's only the beginning of your suffering. When we die, the scriptures say, the light of the scripture tell us, well, there is death, and then there is the judgment. We have to stand before God one day. We have to give an account of our lives. And if we have not received forgiveness, well, then we will be sent to a place of banishment, a place of eternal darkness. There is no light in that place. And yet people don't understand these things. And they're taking these things so lightly. Dear friends, we must not be like this. We must never entertain thoughts like that. We must be different. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. We must follow our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Are you following Him this day? Do you truly know what it is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? To follow the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't just mean to hear Him. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, there were many people who heard Him, but not many who followed Him. Only a small band of people who followed Him. The disciples followed Him. But what did the disciples do? They didn't just hear Him. They learnt from Him. They imitated Him. They obeyed Him. They served him every day of their lives, not just one day a week. Every day of their lives, they would wake up. The center of their lives, the reason why they did anything was for Christ, was to serve him, was for his glory. That's what it is to truly follow Christ. So we have to examine ourselves. Am I somebody who follows Christ, or do I just come and hear maybe just one service a week, and then the rest of the week I don't follow Christ? I don't seek him at all. I don't look to his word. I don't seek any sort of guidance. We have to examine ourselves in this way. We're not just those who hear the word of God, but we follow Christ. Only those who follow Christ are inheritors of this promise. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Do you believe in Christ? Do you know where you are going when you die? Do you know where you will spend eternity? That's the great question. Do you have certainty? Do you have assurance that you will go to heaven? Do you have that great assurance? Don't be like those who always say, "Oh, I don't know." I've mentioned this many times before, but I speak to an alarming number of people who say they're Christians, and you ask them, "Well, are you going to heaven?" And they say, "Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know, really. I'm a bit in the dark about these things because I was good last week, but this week I haven't been very good. I haven't prayed very much and I haven't done this and done that." Are you like that? You don't have any certainty or assurance of salvation? Dear friends, you have to be sure. Christ did not die on the cross so that you would be unsure about your salvation. Christ died on the cross so that you will be sure of your salvation. When anybody asks you, "Are you saved?" Well, those who trust in Christ always say without hesitation, "Yes." Because it's got nothing to do with me or my performance. It's got everything to do with Christ. When he was on the cross, he took the punishment for my sin. He bore all my sin away. It's all because of him I'm going to heaven. It's all because of him I'm saved. I trust in him. Therefore, I know I'm going to heaven. Therefore, I know I'm saved. You put all your faith in Christ, and that will bring you joy. That is the gospel. That is the good news, the good tidings that Christ has come to bring to us. Christ suffered on the cross for us. He suffered our hell. On the cross, well, many of you will know this and remember this, there were 3 hours of darkness. 3 hours of darkness. Those who were even near the cross could not see the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many things that we could say about that, but one of the things that we know when we consider these things is that on the cross he suffered our hell. That eternal darkness that we deserved, he suffered it in our place. So we do not have to. So that we may be spared, so that we may be forgiven all our sin. That is what it is to truly trust in Christ. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Well, these things are so wonderful, but I must begin to draw to conclusion. We have had tremendous weather recently, very good weather. The sun has been out, as many of you know, and that's been a change. But you know what I've noticed? It's been so amazing to see the difference that it brings to people. I was out even in central London during the week, and it was amazing. Normally you see people who are very, grumpy and frowning all the time. But you looked out on the crowds that were out, they were so much happier. They were so much more polite to one another and friendlier, more likely to say hello and to chat to one another. It seemed like the light of the sun had changed them. But well, the light of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ is far greater than that. That changes people, most certainly. That grants us great joy, joy in our hearts, because we know that we are saved, because we know that we're destined for heaven. Gone is our despair. We depart from sin. We become better people, more generous people, kinder people. Everybody can see the change and marvel. This is the light of Christ. Everybody in the sun, well, I noticed too, well, they seemed so less burdened than they normally would. Gone are the heavy coats. Gone are the, well, you're battling against the elements normally, against the wind and the rain. But people were at ease in the sun. They were at peace. And when you come to know Christ, it's exactly the same. Gone is your burden of sin and guilt and shame for all the things that you've done in your life. That burden is lifted off you. Christ has taken it off you. And now you are at peace and you know true forgiveness. And well, you can appear spotless and sinless in the sight of God. Christ is the light of the world. But let me end by saying this. Christ is far greater than the sun. You know, this sun, and I hate to say it, will not last. I'm sure the good weather will not last. Well, in fact, the sun departs from us every day. Of course it does. In a few hours' time, the sun will set and darkness will surely close in. But this is the difference with Christ. The sun may depart from us, but Christ never leaves us. Christ never leaves us. Even when the darkness is around us, even in difficult times, even in great trials and tribulations, Christ is always there with us, upholding us and strengthening us and showing forth his grace, even in the dark times. Well, in the night sky, you can go up and try and look for the sun. You won't find it. But in your darkest times in your own life, Christ will always be with you. And even at the very end, even as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, well, Christ will be your light. As the light of this world goes out, the light of the next will come on. That is guaranteed. That is sure and certain. But you must follow Christ. You must give your life to him and serve him. And trust and believe in him. These tremendous words, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. May the Lord bless us and cause his light to shine upon us this day. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God and our gracious Heavenly Father, O Lord, we pray that we may have the light of life, that we may know and understand that Christ endured our darkness, suffered our hell, that we may know eternal light forevermore. O Lord, forgive us our sin. Help us to have a clear understanding of who we are, sinners, lost sinners, but help us to see Christ as he truly and clearly is, our Saviour, the light of the world, a light to lighten the Gentiles. May we be blessed in that light. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.